Well, good morning, my dear friends. It is time for us to be... Oh, I'm telling you what. I'm so glad to be back. We had amazing trips, you know, first Hawaii, and then we came back and did VBS, and then off to the Arizona mission trip with the teenagers, and I feel like I went to Hawaii, taught children, built something, and it's all blurred. But it was all very amazing. Great stories. Can't wait to share everything with you as we get opportunities. But yeah, I'm so glad to be back and with my family again. This is very good. So as we are gathered here this morning, folks, you know, I think a lot of times we forget what an amazing thing it is that we get to come to this place, the house of God, and this is a place where God is, where, you know, when we're looking for God, this is where we find him. He's here. He's here in his word. He's here in the sacrament. He's here because, you know, two or three are gathered together in his name. He is here. And this opportunity that we have to spend time in the presence of Almighty God, to just soak it up, to be changed by him, and to be able to take that love of God, that wisdom of God that we get to absorb out into the world and share it. And I think that's, we're going to be talking today about that, because that's one of the places I think we break down sometimes. You know, we're really into the whole coming here, worshiping God, loving God, and then we go out into the world and sometimes not share it, right? And so we'll talk about that in a little bit. But guys, as we come into God's presence this morning, we remember that we are adopted into his family. We belong to him. He is our Father. And so let us begin as we remember our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, this day that was created by you for us to worship you, a day where we open your word to hear your words, Lord, where you send your spirit to work in our hearts and to change us, Lord, to make us into the people that you have created us to be. Lord, I pray that you would be here, work in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to open ourselves to you, Lord, to be changed, to not resist your word, but to allow it to have its full way with us, so that we can be your people and serve you in this world. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, let us begin by worshiping this God that we serve. Yes. Oh, look at that. Oh, confession. This is a really important part. We don't want to leave this out. It's kind of why we show up, right? Yeah. The thing is that we come to this place, we know that we're sinful, we know that we fall short, and our God has an answer for that. So if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sin to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now let's return praise to the God.
For the Lord. One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One Morning. I'm Kevin Chegg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first scripture reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. I am using an example from everyday life because of your human limitations. Just as you used to offer yourself as slaves to impurity and ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer yourselves as slaves to righteousness leading to holiness. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
The sermon text for today is Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 15. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or enter any of the towns of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you on your belts. No bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or staff. For the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person to stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on that day of judgment than for that town. This is God's word for us today. It is now time for the children's message. So kids, you can come on forward now. And Mr. Lewis Johnson has our message this morning. This is church. Okay.
There is a reason that I'm wearing this. It's kind of tied into the message. Just a happy coincidence that the Cubs and Cardinals are playing, and I won't tell you what the score is right now, 4-0 first inning. But anyway, Cubs, just in case you were interested. But, you know, as I thought about what I was going to talk about this morning, and I will tell you what I'm wearing right now was not something I thought about until this morning, and the Holy Spirit said, you know what, there's a way to kind of weave in the Cubs and Cardinals in my message. And I don't know if you were listening, but Jesus sent his disciples out, and he told them to go out and talk to people. But at first he said, only go to certain people. So what if I told you that you could only talk about God to a Cubs fan? Would you be willing to do that? Or, you know, maybe, and I could never do this, maybe it was a Bears fan had to go talk to a Packers fan. I can't do it. But God calls us to go out and share his love and spread his message with everyone that he puts us in contact with, regardless if they're Cubs fans or Kansas Jayhawk fans, or if you're from Oklahoma and you have to go talk to a Texas Longhorn, whoever your rival is, God wants us to share his message with them. Now, the thing I was going to talk about before this came to me this morning was that, do you know there's about 8 billion people in the world, according to estimates, and some people are called by God to go out and be missionaries, and actively that's their job, to spread the gospel. Some are going to be pastors, like Pastor Bob. Some might be a teacher who's teaching but also sharing the word. But we all have God's gift that we can share with everyone. And what I wanted to do to kind of show that, because even with 8 billion people in the world, God has given us each unique little gifts to be able to share. And so I thought, what could I use as a visual to show the uniqueness that we all have? So these are a bunch of marbles, and some of them kind of look very similar, but if you look really close, there's some things that are different about them, and that represents the Holy Spirit that is in you. Each one of you is a little bit different, but God has given you the gift to go out and share, and he wants you to share that with everyone that you come in contact with. So I wanted to give you, just as a little reminder, about what God and the Holy Spirit has planted in you. And I'm going to let you choose your favorite marble. I don't know, actually, maybe that was a bad idea. Let's see how we can do this. Yep. It could be a big one. It could be a little one. Oh, there's one that fell. Has everybody got one? Almost. And actually, you know what? I have enough that actually, if you wanted to have two, I'll let you have two. How about that? Got it? All right. Yeah, take that one. Perfect. Okay. All right. So before I let you go, let's just bow our heads in prayer. And you can repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for giving me the gift of your love. Help me to share that gift with everyone that you bring me in contact with. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thank you very much. And now it's time for a little worship. So for those ages 4 to 4th grade, and across in the middle, and you have a special message just for you. And go Cubs.
That was really subtle that you blamed the Holy Spirit for wearing a Cubs jersey. That was good. Oh, I love it. Excellent. Well, very good, my friends. I find myself at an interesting place in life where my children are now, like, doing interesting things in their own lives. And Jesse, who is, like, all geared up to do counterintelligence in the Army, all of a sudden couldn't do that. And now he's at the seminary, which is a fun experience for me, because as he goes through all of the waypoints, the big events at seminary, it kind of brings it all back, you know, how it was when I went. And he just preached his first sermon this year. Yeah, he got an A. It made me remember how I didn't. Speaking is hard, you know, and I'm not a natural public speaker. You know what I mean? I never was comfortable in front of a crowd. I was very happy working with children, but I didn't really want anything to do with being in front of a whole bunch of scary adults. And that haunted me right into seminary, because they did this cruel thing where that your first sermon, you had to prepare it, then you had to memorize it and give the sermon with no notes. That worked really good for me for the first third of the sermon. And then I was gone. It was gone. It was gone. And I just said, that's it. That's all I got. And I went and sat down. It got better. But it's hard to talk. It's just hard to talk. And I see this even like with the kids, the teachers in our school. They'll stand in front of a classroom of kids all day long, but please don't ever ask them to give a children's message, because it's in front of everybody. Jesse, he got an A, right? While I was on my trips, I said, Jesse, do you want to preach some Sunday? And he's like, not yet. He goes, I really want to practice in front of people I don't know before I get up in front of everybody I know. So this talking, it's hard. And Jesus gave his disciples in the text for today the job to go out and talk. He did it all wrong. And Jesus does everything wrong to our way of thinking, which is actually right, because our way of thinking isn't always right. And Jesus, he just did it in a way that I wouldn't have done, right? Because he basically called these disciples. He gave them a really long sermon, this whole Sermon on the Mount, right? So it's chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew, right? Now we're in chapter 10, so it's just a few miracles later, and Jesus is sending his disciples out as missionaries. And he says, go and speak. And we think, well, were they really prepared for this? I mean, are they ready for this kind of responsibility? Are they ready for this kind of job? And, Jesus kind of, again, just kind of wrong. He tells them, don't prepare, okay? Which is strange for us. You know, we're people who like to prepare. If I've got a big trip ahead of me, I like to have lots of time to plan it. Well, actually, no, I let my wife have lots of time to plan it. And then everything works out really, really well, because the plan is in place and we know where we're going and we know how we're getting there, and there's reservations along the way and everything goes the way it's supposed to. If you ever just go on a trip where you just get in the car and go, likely things are not going to go as smoothly, because, you know, you're going to end up stopping in a small town in Oklahoma right when there's like some kind of a huge conference or something, and there's no hotel rooms anyplace within, 60 miles, and you're just, not that that's ever happened before. But the thing is that this is how it goes if you don't prepare. If you don't make sure that you actually are packing a pillow for the trip and a sleeping bag and an air mattress. And there was once I went on annual training with the military and I didn't bring my boots. It's not good. It's better to be prepared. My first sergeant was not pleased. And then I had to fix it. Anyway, but the thing is that preparing and being properly prepared is such an essential part of doing work. And it's so weird, because Jesus very explicitly told his disciples, do not prepare. He said, don't bring any money. Well, I mean, when you're on vacation, don't you want a little money in your pocket? I mean, even if you have a credit card, it's nice to have a little cash just in case, right? Jesus said, no money. He said, don't bring a stick, like a walking stick. Don't pack food. Just go. And the question is, why is Jesus doing such a bad job preparing these people for their first mission trip? I mean, doesn't he want them to come back with some stories of success and not just like, I froze to death every night? You know, I mean, I smelled bad after the time I got to the second town because I didn't have a spare shirt. I mean, it's like, what was Jesus trying to accomplish? And thing is this, Jesus is trying to imprint upon his disciples the fact that it's not about you. It's not about how well you speak. It's not about how organized you are. It's not about how great you are. It's not about how charismatic you are. It's not about how all the things that you bring to the table and you offer this whole thing. It's not about any of that. Because the job that we are given is the job of speaking God's truth. And God's truth changes hearts. And we always have to keep track of where the power is. Because the power is not in me. It's not like if I give this message in just the right way, with just the right words, with just the right amount of passion, with just all everything just right, I will suddenly be able to persuade everybody and everybody will be changed and follow God. Is that how it works? It's just, that's not how it works. The thing is this, is that I as a person, all I do is bring to the table doing God's work. I just speak his message. And the Spirit of God who promises to work through his word, he's the one that changes hearts. And Jesus wanted the disciples to understand this really, really, really well, because this was going to be a major important part of what they were going to do for the rest of their lives as they did ministry. Ministry is not some sort of amazing act that we can do just right so that everything works out. Ministry is an act of obedience where we do the things that our God tells us to do. We speak the words, we go the places, we confront the people, we love the people, we serve the people, we fix their houses, we fix their, you know, whatever it is that God puts in front of us, we obediently do the work he gives us, and he makes it work. Why is that so important? Is it so important so that we realize how puny we are and how we don't have any real place in this plan? Quite the opposite. It's empowering so that we understand that every single one of us, no matter how much confidence we have in our own abilities, can speak God's truth in the world. That it doesn't matter if you stutter. So do I. It doesn't matter if you are uncertain. It doesn't matter if you don't feel prepared. It doesn't matter if you are worried that you won't have the right words to say, or maybe you don't know enough yet, or any of that stuff. None of that stuff matters. What matters is that you speak God's salvation to other people. And this doesn't have to be hard. I think a lot of times we think that this is like something that takes a great deal of courage and stuff. And at the beginning, it kind of does. I mean, you have to be willing to step out and do something even though you're terribly uncomfortable with doing it. Just like every other skill in life, you know, when you begin doing something new, it feels awkward. You know, it just doesn't feel right. It just feels like you have to think about every step, and it's clunky and it's not smooth and it's just difficult. But that's how everything is when you start. Remember the back in the day when you learned to drive, okay? I mean, again, you know, when you have children and you're teaching them to drive, it's a good time to go back memory lane. Makes you more compassionate toward your children to remember what you did to your parents when you were learning to drive, right? And when we learn to drive, is it smooth and amazingly easy? I mean, now you get in the car, you turn it on, and you just think, I'm going to go there, and you go, right? But then it's like, okay, where's the key go, and how does this work? And, oh, I forgot to hit the brake pedal so it doesn't crank. And you have to think about every little step along the way. But would life be better if we never learned to drive? Well, no. Is it worth going through the awkward phase to get the freedom and have the ability to live as an independent adult? Well, yeah. Sharing faith is no different. It's exactly the same thing. In the beginning, you're going to be the one sitting sideways in traffic. You're going to be the one who changes lanes completely wrong at intersections and gets beeped at. You're going to be the one that you're going to mess up, and that's okay. One of the most effective ways to learn is to do something. You know how I learned how to fix cars? I just started doing it. You know? I mean, did I mess up some stuff? Yeah. I broke stuff. Did I get better at it? Some people think so. But the thing is that we're going to be able to do the work that God has given us. We're going to be able to speak the truth that God has given us more effectively once we get started. Does that make sense? Okay. But here's the other thing. We don't have to do it on our own. Remember, it's not your persuasiveness, it's not your amazing speechifying that's going to make this message powerful. The message is powerful. And the God who gave us this message and inhabits this message, the God who promises to work through this message, is profoundly powerful. So that even the neophyte, the one who knows almost nothing, the one who walks into a witnessing situation with much fear and much trepidation and stumbling over their words, is it still possible that God works through that and changes hearts? Isn't that crazy to think about? Because in the end, the power of the message is not about you. It's all about Him. Our job is to just be obedient and to carry this message to the world. And you got to remember this message. You got to remember, why do we share this message? Why does Jesus send us into the world to share this stuff? And it's just like this. It's like, do you remember what it was like when you really realized forgiveness? Who here is really messed up? I mean, like, hurt people around you. You know, shameful, horrible sin, really messed up. And you come into the house of God, just like we did this morning, which I almost skipped, right? And we say, Lord, forgive me. I am a sinner. And what's God's answer every single time? Now, we do this so often that sometimes I think we kind of almost become callous to the amazement of it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that you know, we, of course, God forgives us. That's just what He does, right? But there are people out there who don't experience that forgiveness. There are people out there who are carrying the burden of their guilt. There are people out there who don't know the God who loves them, the Jesus who's died for them, the Spirit who brings them life. They don't know anything about any of that, and they're walking through their life, as if in darkness, banging their shins on every coffee table. I mean, it's just not a great way to live. And we are the ones that God puts in this world to share the light. We are the ones that God puts into this world to speak the truth. And the thing is this, we understand the truth. I mean, we have various levels of understanding the truth, no question about it, right? I mean, some people can like talk about objective and subjective justification and go really deep into everything. And some people are just like, well, you know, Jesus died on the cross and He forgives me my sin. And I mean, you know what I'm saying? He's like, we different levels. That's fine. Talk what you know. And here's the thing. What's going to happen is this. The person is going to do something really, really unnerving for you. They're going to ask you questions. You may not have an answer. It's a disaster. You know what you have to do? Find out. Did Jesus send His disciples out into the world and said, have all the answers? He just said, speak my truth. And if we're asked a question and we just never thought of that question before, because that happens, you know, then your responsibility isn't to have the answer in the moment, but it's to say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go find out. And then guess who you can call? Yeah, call me, call Dad, call Pastor Dar, call somebody who can help you with the answers that you need so that we can get to this and be part of Bible studies, not just so that you know it's in the Bible, but that you know how to study the Bible. How do you read the Bible? How do you find things in the Bible? How do you interpret and understand what God writes? I mean, all of that stuff has to be done, but it can be done over time. What I'm saying is don't fall into the trap of waiting to be ready before you start doing the job of a Christian, because are you a Christian? You're qualified. Get out there and do it. And you'll be more qualified the more you do it. And then pretty soon it's like driving again, you know, instead of being the one that, like, you know, haltingly goes through intersections and sits and wonders if it's my turn to go at a turn and all the things that you do wrong when you're a newbie. And pretty soon it'll be much more smooth, much more, you'll become more skilled at it. But we don't ever want to stop. The devil's got a zillion ways to make us not do the job that God gave us. You know, he'll tell you you're not ready. He'll tell you you're not qualified. He'll tell you you don't have any answers. He'll tell you you're going to mess it all up. He's going to tell you, you're going to turn them off and they're never going to want to be Christians because you're going to say something wrong. Is that likely? I mean, how crazy bad would you have to be at this to turn somebody off forever, right? Not likely. We just love these people. The message is simple. We preach Christ. We preach a God crucified. If you're looking for a way to open the conversation, get started talking about it, God has done a few things in the world that can help you bridge. Like, you know, the day that God created. If you're talking about the weather, you can say, nice day. Or you can say, what a beautiful day God has made. And that's getting God into the conversation already. Not you're done, because that's not the gospel yet, right? But it gets you started. You know, that every single thing that God does for us and works through us, and, you know, that we can say, I really hope this is going to happen, or I'm praying that God makes this happen. You see what I'm saying? It's like all the ways that we can seed God into the conversations that we have on a daily basis, which just leaves doors and openings all over the place for him to work and to give us opportunities to speak about him. And just to understand this, this is an opportunity to work alongside God. It's not something that we sit around and feel guilty about. You know what I'm saying? I mean, the only cause for guilt is if we just do nothing. Then you're not doing what you could. But if you're out there struggling with this and you're trying to do it, you're trying to share your faith, and things don't go well, we learn and we move on and we do it again, right? It's not about trying to be good enough. It's just doing the job. Listen to him. Speak his truth. Tell everybody about his salvation. Tell them about what Jesus has done. Tell them how their sin is covered. Tell them how God walks with them every day. Tell them how no matter how crazy this life gets, we've got another life at the end, that the glory of heaven is not worth comparing to the problems that we have today. Not worth comparing. Isn't that crazy to think about? So, people wonder why the church exists. And this is it. Down to one thing, this is it. Or we have other tasks to do, to love, to care for, to feed, to make sure people have homes, to all the things that God tells us to do. But as we do those things, we share his gospel, we share his message. This is what we are about. And so I encourage you, think of somebody who needs to hear the message. Pray for them. Pray that God would give you wisdom and understanding, and then go talk. and tell me how it goes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God, a God who loved us, a God who created us, a God who rescued us from sin and destruction, a God who calls us to yourself in baptism, a God who then uses us, Lord, in this world to share this message of salvation that we also have received. Lord, I pray that you would work in us, through us, give us confidence in you, give us strength from you, so that we can be your people in this world. Thank you, Lord, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, let us continue our worship service with the offering. As the offering is collected, I would ask that you record your attendance in the folders that you find near your seats. Please stand as we confess our faith using the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and we thank you that you have called us together, Lord. Called us first to yourself, Lord, but then called us into your church, Lord, so that we can together follow you, Lord. To see our way, Lord, to hold each other accountable, to encourage one another, to study your word together, to know you and to worship you, Lord, as a community. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless our church, Lord, as we continue to struggle to serve you in this world, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you've given us. And just pray that you would continue to lead us in every single one of them. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we are continuing in the process to call an associate pastor. Lord, I pray that, I thank you, Lord, that you have brought us a good man, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we prepare to begin the call process. Lord, I pray that you would be with each and every one of us, Lord, as we navigate this summer. So many activities, so many places, so many people traveling. Lord, I pray that you would be with us all, protect us, keep us in you, Lord. Help us to continue to grow in our faith, Lord, as we enjoy this world that you have created. We pray that you would be with those who are struggling with illness, sickness, injury, that you would help us, Lord, to heal, that you would help us to find the help we need, Lord, and that you, Lord, would set things aright so that we would be able to continue serving you, Lord, and serving the people around us. Lord, all these things we bring to you, and we pray the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you, this do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you, this cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." As is our custom, those who are serving us will come forward to receive the Lord's Supper first. The rest of you, I encourage you to use the questions on the screen to examine yourselves in keeping with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that this meal may be received as a blessing that God intends it to be and not as something that would bring you harm. Please be seated.
God in helpless babe, the gift of life. Christ died. The wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here is the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Once again, our God showed up. He's here in body and blood, bread and wine, as he has promised. In this gift, he offers us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that we receive through the faith that we have in him. Because his promise is certain, because we can believe his words are true, depart in his peace and in his love. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up and sing the final song together. Have a seat, my friends. We've got an amazing God. It's wonderful to be together and worshiping him. But a few announcements as we go our way. First of all, as I kind of previewed in the prayer today, sorry to spring that on you. We're going to be holding a meeting, a family meeting, to vote on calling Pastor Joshua Rusnick to be associate pastor here at St. Mark's. That's coming up on the July 9th following the worship service. The call committee has been busy, and they got that all done even when I was out of town for 3 weeks, so that's pretty impressive. Midday Bible study led by Pastor Bill is going to be moving to Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, and then Miss Lauren, there she is, has some announcements for us today too.
Yes, if you didn't get a chance last week, I just wanted to invite you. During the month of July, we're going to do a summer Bible reading challenge. It's 30 days. You get two Bible options a day to choose from. And we just wanted to encourage young families and the young at heart to be in the Word daily. If you already have your own program, that's great. But you get a little thing here with some stickers to add to it. So I'll be out in the lobby if you want to sign up for that. And then I also wanted to invite any children or grandparents who have grandchildren. We're going to be starting a new Sunday school program today between now and August 13th called Catechism and Crazy Fun. And I bet you didn't know those two things went together, but they can. So we're going to be specifically looking at the Ten Commandments this summer. So we would love for you all to join us. That's any age child up through middle school. And then high school and adult, you're going to meet here in the Worship Center weekly with Pastor Bob and do some amazing adult Bible study here as well. So we'd love to have you join us. Both things can see me in the lobby today.
With that, God's blessings on your days and your weeks coming up. I pray that God would continue to be with you and guide you and nudge you as you go into different opportunities to speak his word. All right, God's blessings on your week. I'll see you in the back.